Well, first, I don't know how many of you remember Father Christopher from his time here. I certainly have just met him for the first time today, but we want to welcome him back home. He was here in the parish back when our parish didn't exist, I understand, and we belonged to Christ the Redeemer. And then he became a priest out in Nebraska, and he's home visiting family, and so we welcome him into our midst. In today's gospel, though, Jesus explains to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be killed and on the third day be raised. We have to hear this gospel with the ears of the apostles in that first century, the ears of the apostles who had just seen our Lord do so many things. Hear these words and understand how they must have turned the disciples' hearts upside down, how they must have ripped their hearts asunder. After all, it was only last week that Peter had said that marvelous confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And now, how can they understand that their master, their Lord, their teacher, is going to suffer? And not merely suffer, but suffer the humiliating and so excruciatingly painful death of the cross, that their Lord and Master will die. The Apostle Peter, he cannot accept this. He rebels. He refuses to accept the teachings of the teacher. And he rebukes our Lord, saying, "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you." I think that got a little loud. I'm sorry. Move that away. We see here the great divergence between the Father's loving plan. The Father's loving plan, which included the gift of His Son, His only begotten Son, who came into this world to die on the cross, to die on the cross to save humanity. We see the divergence between the Father's loving plan and the disciples' expectations, wishes, their program, their projects. We see how the divergence between these two, how they stand out so clearly in the gospel. And yet we also know today this contrast is repeated. Whenever the fulfillment of one's own life is geared towards social success, or when it's geared towards physical and financial well-being, then one no longer reasons according to God, but according to man. Whenever we willingly accept a watered-down Christianity, whenever we willingly seek no longer to deny ourselves, but to live for ourselves, we diverge from the Father's loving plan, which Jesus was so obedient to. When we think as the world thinks, we set God aside, not accepting His plan of love, preventing Him, as it were, from doing His wise will. It is for this reason that Jesus says some particularly hard words to Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me," or "you are an obstacle to me." Our Lord teaches that the way of discipleship is the way to follow Him, to walk behind Him, the crucified one. All three of the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all interpret this following of Christ, following Him to the way of the cross, as the indispensable way for a man to lose his life, without which it is impossible for him to find himself, without which it is impossible to be saved. We want to notice that our Lord does not rebuke Peter with the same words with which He had earlier in the Gospel rebuked Satan during that time in the desert, during the time of the temptation in the desert, after those 40 days of fasting. Then our Lord had said to Satan, "Be gone, Satan." And we read, "The devil left him." Here the Savior speaks a different command. He says to Simon Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." The church fathers, in reading this and reflecting on this, note that our Savior utterly rebuked and rejected Satan, banishing him from his presence. With Peter, however, it is different. The Lord says, "Get behind me," which is to say, "Follow me." Jesus invites Peter to imitate his humility and his willingness to suffer. Indeed, we may see in this gospel not only the first prediction of our Lord's passion, but also the promise of Peter's own suffering and death, a prediction of the passion of Peter. And we know that our Lord is not merely inviting Peter to this, but he is also addressing this invitation to us. He turns then to his disciples and says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." A Christian follows Jesus when he lovingly accepts his own cross, which in the world's eyes seems a defeat and to lose life. Because the Christian knows that he is not carrying it alone, but rather with Jesus, sharing the same journey of self-giving. As Christians, my brothers and sisters, we need to be willing to embrace suffering. So we have to ask ourselves this morning. Our Lord says, "If you would be my disciple." And so he opens up the opportunity for us to have our free will coordinating with his, for our free will to coincide with his, for us to surrender our will according to his good plan. "If you would be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." Each of us must ask ourselves this morning, do I want to be a disciple of Jesus? Do I want to pick up my cross? Do I love and thirst and have my heart satisfied only in denying myself, taking up my cross to be Christ's disciple? He lays it before us as a choice. And you and I all know that the choice is not merely just, am I going to wake up Sunday morning and go to Mass? But am I going to be a disciple day in and day out in all the difficult moments of life? Will I be a disciple? Will I deny myself? Will I take up my cross? This is the choice. A convert to Catholicism said that though she had tried out many other religions, this was the first religion. This was the first church that actually demanded something of her. She realized that the Catholic message was truly being spoken out. You must deny yourself. You must take up your cross. And yet she found in the Catholic Church the truth, the true Church of Jesus, the one which is faithful to this gospel. You and I all know that there are others who are no longer coming to this church. Why? Because they say the message is too hard here. They found an easier message somewhere else. Somewhere else where they're not told they're going to have to deny themselves. Somewhere else where they're not told that they're going to have to take up their cross. Somewhere else where they can find an easy life. But my brothers and sisters, the easy life is not the life that Jesus is promising us in the gospel. He told his disciples that the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem, must suffer, must die. And yet so often, we know people, and we're tempted ourselves, perhaps, to reject that message, to rebuke our Lord and say, "God forbid, Lord, that I should suffer. God forbid, Lord, that you should suffer in my life." No, we're going to reject the difficulties. We're going to run away from the cross, and we're going to find the easy life. And our Lord then says to us, as he said to Peter, "Get behind me. Be my disciple. Stop being an obstacle to my plan for universal salvation. I desire to save everyone, and you're getting in the way of that." Too often we get in the way of our own salvation, rejecting the cross, rejecting our Lord, thinking not as God does, but as the world does. We need, if we're to be disciples, if we're to be Christians, we need to embrace suffering. Now, we don't need to go looking for it, for we're not masochists. However, we need to be willing to embrace it when it is allowed by God for a greater good. Just as we suffer when exercising our body for our physical and emotional health, so too we need to suffer when exercising our soul for our emotional and spiritual health. When we say no to our sinful desires, we build virtue and avoid spiritual diseases. When we fight laziness and inopportunity so as to be faithful to a life of prayer, we nourish our relationship with God and we offer Him fitting praise. When we sacrifice for making purchases in order to give that money to the poor, to charity, then we suffer for the sake of the kingdom. My brothers and sisters, this is the way that Jesus points out to His disciples. This is the way which you and I have the option of getting behind and following. The servant of God, Pope Paul VI, wrote, "In a mysterious way, Christ Himself accepts death on the cross in order to eradicate from man's heart the sins of self-sufficiency and to manifest to the Father a complete filial obedience." My brothers and sisters, obedience is what we see in Christ Jesus. And disobedience is what we see in the words of Peter. That same disobedience which echoes from Adam and Eve and continues to resound and tug at our hearts. But Christ offers us a different way. He offers us the obedience. Obedience even until death. Death on a cross. But it is because of this that God greatly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every other name that can save us. Jesus is here to be the source of salvation for all of humanity. He is here to help us. He invites us to share our sufferings, to share our life, to unite our passion to His suffering, passion, His life, His cross, our cross, united to His cross for salvation. St. Cyril of Jerusalem commented, "The glory of the cross led those who were blind through ignorance into light, loosed all who were held fast by sin, and brought redemption to the whole of mankind." This is the love of the Father. It involves the suffering of the cross, which leads to the fulfillment of the glorious resurrection. My brothers and sisters, it lies before us. Just as our Lord showed it to the disciples in His own day, so too He shows it to us this morning. And He invites us, He challenges us to consider, do you want to be a disciple? St. Paul goes even a step further. He begs us, "Brothers and sisters, I beg you, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect." My brothers and sisters, in baptism, all of us were marked with the cross of Christ so as to belong totally to Him. This morning, when you entered the church, did you not dip your hands in the holy water and renew that sign of the cross on your body, renewing your dedication to Christ, to the church? Do not let that be an empty sign. Do not seek to rob or to empty the cross of its spiritual meaning, of its salvific power. Christ invites us this morning to be transformed by His grace, to unite ourselves in this sacrifice, in that perfect sacrifice which is eternally presented to God the Father in heaven, that we might be good and acceptable and perfect. Dear brothers and sisters, let us pray that in making our response, we can be equally generous, that we may not diverge our will from the will and the path which Jesus has revealed, but that we might be, following his example, obedient and faithful disciples.